It's an equal amount of faith. It's something that we don't come with. It's something that has to be learned. That learning, so, you know, I was thinking about this message and what we could do. It's the last night that I'll be here. You know, the Bible says to pray, the fields are white unto harvest. Heard that 1,000 times at mission conferences. And it says to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. And he says, because it's white unto harvest. The issues, I mean, obviously if we pray, he's going to send them. I mean, well, why would he not do that? The problem is not on the Lord sending them, it's on the laborers hearing. I believe with all my heart that there are way more people that are called to missions than ever go. We just learned you don't have to be a preacher and you don't have to go to Bible college for the Lord to reach down in a pew and say, I want you to go. Right? Because that's not the way it happened for them. We know that that's not the criteria. And even in your own life, you know, there's giving and then there's giving and there's going and then there's going. We can all do a little, but we can also all do a lot. The process in getting to that point, it's letting God teach us what we need to know. And just listening to this brother, I had no idea what I was going to preach on. But part of that process is the Lord had to teach him some things. Before he could get to that point that he could look at that house and look at his job, God had to teach him something that there's actually something more. And once he learned that, it was easy to let go of what he had, right? Because God's offering more. It might not come in the same package, but he's offering more. You know, the same way in our life, God isn't going to ask anybody in this room because he loves you. The journey to giving more or to committing more or whatever that case may be, the exchange that he asks you to do, he's always going to give you more. Part of that process of being used by the Lord is we have to learn what he wants us to learn. You can't be used of God unless you can learn how to forgive. Because if you work with people, people are going to disappoint you. People are going to let you down, and people are going to hurt you. If you're going to be used of God in any type of ministry at all, you are going to have to learn how to forgive. That is very vital to being successful in any kind of ministry. If you're going to care about your community, you're going to care about the people in your church, you are going to have to learn how to forgive. Nobody comes naturally with that. It's something God teaches. Oftentimes, God can use your own mistakes to help you learn your need to forgive. You can't be in ministry unless you can learn how to be patient and long-suffering. Oftentimes, we're extremely short with other people, but forgetting about how many times God has to be very long-suffering to us. It's something that you have to learn. You know, I'll tell you something funny. When I was an assistant pastor, I walked into the office one day and our secretary was sitting there and she was sitting down and I was standing over her and I noticed something. I noticed that she had a bald spot. And I said to her, hey, you're going bald. You know, I was 27 years old and did not know that's not something you should say. So I went about my merry business, and about 20 minutes later, the pastor asked to see me. So I'm sitting in his office, and he said, I can't believe that you said something so dumb. You made her cry. And I'm like, what? I had no idea. I said, well, what did I do? And he said, well, you said she was going bald, and I said she was. Apparently, that's something I shouldn't have told her, right? Remember that, Maggie? He, for the next 30 minutes, proceeded to tell me that unless I learned some things, I wasn't going to be useful. You know, I wasn't extremely comfortable at the moment, you know, as I was sitting there going through that. But then later on, he resigned and he went to Italy as a missionary. And when he left, he said, I want you to candidate to be the pastor. And I said, no way. Don't want nothing to do with it. And just to humor him, I did, and they voted 100%. And once I sat down in that chair behind that desk, I was very thankful that God taught me some things. But then, you know, I left that church and I came here. And I worked with Brother Thompson. Brother Thompson was if anybody remembers him, he was organized to the nth degree. Yep. I am not. And how we didn't kill each other, I don't know. But during that time, I can remember this place was packed on days. Yes. Packed. And we needed to build that building back there. Okay, and then I remember, it had gained some traction and it kind of fizzled out. And I was sitting up there in that office one day and I thought, I'm just going to go to him and tell him, hey, you know what, I can oversee that if you want me to. And I sat down in his office and he handed me all those things. And he said, okay, go for it. So, we tackled that project. I can remember calling sitting in the meetings with the architect and the planning and going all that and then taking it over to him and then going out and watching it being built and solving all those problems. And then a little bit after that, Dr. Bish came through here, preached a mission conference about how little churches up north couldn't find a pastor. And I can remember God burdening my heart. I ended up resigning and going. What I learned here, I had no idea that within a year of being in that church with 12 people, that in a year and a half, I was going to have to build a building. Yes. And as I was sitting down with another architect, and another bunch of planning committees, I thought, man, God knew what he was doing. I needed that. I had no idea what was next. And then I went through all of that, and got to see a church grow and go through another building project. And then we got involved in missions and I ended up, feeling burdened to go to Africa. And you guys know the story. Literally said that if God gave that church $1 million, I'd go to Africa. Do you know what was a blessing? That story was an absolute blessing. It opened up doors. I can remember when I stood in front of a BIMI, where you have to get approved. So, my mission director wanted me to tell that story. So I tell that story and these guys all come up to me afterwards. All these preachers come up to me afterwards and said, hey, can you pray for our building project? I said, no way. The last time I did that, I got sent to Africa. You're on your own, buddy. But may I tell you something? I'm still learning. Right? I know that there's things inside of me that need improving for God to use me in the next step of my life. The question is this. Are you willing to learn them? We all love great stories of faith. We all love great stories of dedication. We all love great testimonies. The question is, are we willing to do what it takes to get there? To learn the lessons that equip us? To spend the time like Joseph did in a pit that his brothers put him in? To spend some time when somebody has been unkind and unfaithful to you and he spent some time in jail and he was betrayed by his own family? Are you willing to spend the time that God was not doing that in Joseph's life because he was being unkind to Joseph. He was doing it in Joseph's life because he loved Joseph and he knew what he was going to call him to do. He knew what he would need in order to succeed. He needed these lessons. He was actually being very kind and loving through the process. Many of us have hijacked our own path because God wanted to teach us something and we spent much longer learning it or may still have yet to learn it. And we can't go on to the next level until we've learned what he needs us to learn here. Because these stories don't come of our own self. They come of God. What he's saying isn't, that's something that God did in his life. Now he could have, do you not believe that somewhere else where God was impacting another family just like this, but they're still in the house. They still have their job. They're still in corporate America. You know, they hear the same thing, but they've not learned that lesson to be able to let go and honestly believe that you're not giving up in anything. You're gaining everything, right? We've all got things that we could do. We all got dreams that we could accomplish. But do we believe that God has the very best for everybody in this room? If you've got a desire to give to something, do you not believe that God could, with his power and his capability, give you the ability to give more and do more? Well, sure he can. But it's believing that and letting him teach you that so you by faith can put that to action. Well, let's go here really quick, and we won't spend too much time past that, but Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and then I want you to look at verse 22. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. I want you, we're going to look up in verse 13. We'll read down a little bit. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the missionaries we've got to spend time with. Thank you for this brother that's been in Scotland for all these years. And Lord, I'm looking forward to this new family as they endeavor to go to the Philippines and what's ahead of them. And I just thank you for this church and the history they have of loving on missions. And Lord, the job that you have for everybody in this room. Lord, we need everyone here. They all have a part. We all have a part in what you're doing in this world. And there's something that you have for everybody in this room to learn. Lord, you're in our life. We're sinners. We're stuck in a body that is under a curse. We need help with this body, with our emotions, with our desires. There's things we need to learn so our faith will grow, our commitment grows. And Lord, oftentimes we're the problem because we're not learning what we need to learn. There may be some things we need to let go of tonight. Lord, there's some things that we may need to embrace tonight. Lord, our heart's desire ought to be your desire. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to be the problem. I don't want to get to heaven and say, Dave, if only you could see what I could have done with you. But you wouldn't let me. Help us to remove that obstacle today. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Luke chapter 14. And he said unto him, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So there was a group of people that came to hear Jesus speak, and he said, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. He's teaching him a lesson. He had a question. And the question was, boy, I would love for you to sit down with my brother and tell him how to divide this inheritance. And Jesus is hearing this, and he's going to teach him much more than that. What he wanted to hear him was sit down and say, no, you owe your brother this much. And Jesus is saying, I've got something better than that for you. You know, and then he gives this a lesson here. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I had no idea he was going to share that tonight. But that is not the sum total of who we are. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, thus will I do. I will pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And you would think this is what we're told, right? This is the American dream. You know, this is this is what we live for. I mean, it might not always be in corporate America, but in America, guys, we are comfortable. We like our stuff. We like our plans. We like our agenda. We like our family around us. But may I tell you something? If we're going to accomplish the Great Commission, somebody's going to have to go. Somebody's grandkids are going to stay in the United States while grandma and grandpa are overseas. There's no way around that. You think that that was a horrible thing, but not in the hands of God, right? So he says this to him, and this guy, you know, it looked like he had great planning. He's successful. I mean, he's planning for more, so he's building bigger barns. But God said to him, "Thou fool, then this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" You know, he didn't call him a fool for drinking. He didn't call him a fool for sleeping around. He didn't call him a fool for being involved in drugs. He said, "You're a fool for trying to keep that which was not yours to begin with. You're a fool for holding on to something you cannot take with you. And you're a fool for spending your life on something that eternity is meaningless." He's saying you're a fool for what you spent your life on, which in America would be the thing that the whole rat race is chasing. You know, what when you think about retirement, what does that look like? When you think about how much you need in your 401k, what does that look like? The other day, a guy told me that in 20 minutes, he lost $100,000 in his 401k 2 weeks ago. Now, not a problem for me. Does anybody know why? I don't have a 401k. Probably should. I don't, right? I never suffered that particular trial before. And not that I think those things are bad. But it's just a lesson, and it's here today and gone tomorrow. But I promise you, anything that you stick in the bank of heaven won't deteriorate. You don't make that deposits only through what you put in the offering plate. You do it with your life in serving Him. You do it when you learn to forgive. You do it when you learn to be patient. You do it when you learn to be kind. You do it when you learn to put other people first. You do it when you're willing to do whatever God asks you to do. It's not a struggle. It's not a hardship. It's a joy to be a servant of the Lord, which means to be a servant to the people He cares about. You and I are here to tell the lost that Jesus loves them. We're here to tell the lost that Jesus died for them. It is a privilege to do that. And it's in that avenue is what the avenue God uses to make a deposit into that account into heaven. And He said, this guy was a fool because he thinks he can hold on to this, and in an instant he lost it. Do you understand? Today you could stand in front of God and what you have is what you have. The other day I was looking how many times it says they will have their reward, they will have their reward, they will have their reward. You know, there is a reward for giving to being faithful, to being obedient to God. And when you stand in heaven, the sum total of your life is going to be required at that moment. Are you happy with what you've done for God right now? Can you sit down and rest in that rocking chair and say, "I've done enough. I have served God enough. I am satisfied with my life for Him"? Man, I'm telling you, eternity, and you can't undo it. I would hope that would cause all of us to say, "Man, I want to do more." Do you believe that there's an age limit on that, Pastor, that you get to a certain point and you can no longer? Do you believe there's an age limit? You can get to a certain point and you cannot go any further for God. That you may have physical limitations. You may even have money limitations. Don't underestimate what you can do here. Don't underestimate what you can do for your pastor. Don't underestimate your value, even if you're not on a foreign field. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do, as long as you're learning the lessons God wants you to learn, then you're going to be able to do what God wants you to do. Right? You know, when you see a brand new visitor in a church, it's a little awkward sometimes to go up and say hi to them. Do you know how valuable that is? Do you know how important it is? Because there are other churches. Do you know how, I mean, if all you do is simply say every Sunday, God, I'm shy. I don't like talking to people. My human nature would be I'd rather just sit by myself. But God, I want to be you. Do you know when a visitor walks in, if you just walk up to him and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Do you want to sit with me? You know how simple that is? But even something like that, when it's not, now for me, I don't get any kudos for doing that. I can make friends with a rock. Okay? So I don't get any cha-ching in heaven over that. You know, God doesn't say, dump it in his account. Look at what he's doing. He's going to say, that's no stretch for Dave. But there are things in my life that is a stretch for me. Lessons that I have bristled against learning in my Christian walk with the Lord. And God says, Dave, I want to increase your faith. You won't let me. I want to use you to be reaching people. But there's things you've got to learn about yourself. You got to let go. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's very difficult for me is I carry my feelings on my sleeve. Now, I'm not going to ask you to get up here and air your stuff. That's limited me a few times. That has caused me to not be as effective as I could be. I get worked up too easy. Sometimes I take things personal and they didn't mean it personal. So then it muddies the water a little bit. The day that I can learn to just let that go. You know what? It's okay to be walked on for Jesus. It's okay to be mistreated for him. Well, that should be an honor. If I could just learn that lesson. See, these stories that we hear of George Mueller and praying, do you think he got there overnight, Pastor? Do you think an angel just came down from heaven and slapped him on the head like Benny Hinn and said, here you go, here's a gift? That's something he had to learn. He had to learn it one step at a time. He had to learn that the moment he tried to solve a problem himself, he was getting in the way. And he eventually learned that the way to solve that problem was to go to that prayer room and not come out until the answer to prayer had been fulfilled. He didn't send out any prayer letters and ask for money. He didn't talk about the needs that he had. He just went in the room and told God. Now, do you think that was made up? That was taught by God. And he learned it. Oh, boy, we love those stories. A milk truck breaks down in front of the orphanage and they all get free food. We all love those stories. We all would love that kind of faith. But can we learn those lessons? You know, it says this, life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Now, what an elementary lesson that we heard 1,000 times. But he's teaching this guy this. Remember, he wants him to school his brother about how to split up an inheritance, and he's saying, I'm going to alleviate the burden from you. If you will let me, I'm going to cause you to no longer care about your brother's inheritance. I got more. That's what this was all about. He said this, consider the ravens, for neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse, no barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? I mean, we forget who's telling this story. It's Jesus. We forget what he's doing. He's trying to help this man who had a problem with his brother because he didn't think he was getting enough of the inheritance. And he said, sit down with my brother and tell him this is what you need to give him. And God is saying, what I want you to know something is you don't need to worry about your brother. I have you. Don't you know? So let's say you want to give more. And pastor says 100 times, this is not a fundraiser thing, it's a heart-raising thing. I remember running into people that legitimately want to do more for missions. What about getting alone in your prayer closet and saying this, God, if you want to retell the story of the widow's mite all over again, I'll be that widow. God, you give me a story worth telling, I'll tell it wherever I go. I want to help, but I don't see how I can. But God, if you show me how I can, I'll help. And what you're saying is, teach me. Increase my faith. Help me. God, my personality gets in the way of serving you. I trip over that thing all day long. It's a problem sometimes. Can you help me? I don't want to be a burden. I want to be a blessing. Can you help me? Can you teach me what I need to know so that I can do what you want me to do? You know, when you start, the last thing, you know, I work with a team in Africa. You know, whenever you get one, two or more families together, hoo-wee, I can tell you how many times I've sat there and cried and hugged each other and said, we're not going to give up because we need each other. I mean, Lord forbid that Christians can't figure out how we can possibly work together. You know how you do it? Each person learns. Each person lets God do a work in them so you can work together to get something done for the kingdom. And that's the problem. God can do anything. It's whether or not we learn that, right? You know, it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn. Verse 25, and which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? You know, boy, he's saying, if you can't do that, why are you worried about the other things? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not yet what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful minded. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You know what he's teaching them? And we can't go through all that. Do you know the lessons that are in that verse? He says, take no thought. Don't worry about it. You just make sure you're in my will, and I'll worry about this. He's taking the pressure off of you, and he's putting it on him. He's saying, Dave, if I tell you to go, just go. If I lay it on your heart to give, give. He says, you don't have to take thought of these things. He says, the nations of the world seek these things. I know you need them. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you need them before you even ask of them. So, Dave, if you'll learn this lesson, a huge burden will be lifted off of you. He's teaching them something, that he is in control. He's teaching them something, that to have what God has is to be better than to have what you have. You would much rather have what God has. I mean, would you not gladly give up any kind of position in this world to have that? Absolutely. And he's saying, Dave, once you get to this point and you can trust me, man, talk about forgiveness. I can try and teach you. Pastor can try and teach you. But you know who can do it and be a perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on that cross. And he said this, Father, forgive them. How many times did you go home as a Christian upset? Bothered. Not by somebody getting drunk. Not by some horrible sin out there, but just because somebody upset you. And what they did to you in the grand scheme of life really is absolutely nothing. But boy, has it messed up your attitude. And you stay stuck. Because you can't learn one simple lesson. Wouldn't it be much easier to go to bed at night and say, Father, forgive me as I forgive them. So that we can go on and do what God's asked us to do. So that we can go on and actually help the people of this world. We can't help them if we don't help ourselves. We can't go out there and say God can lift a burden unless you let him lift your burden. You see, we all love these great stories. But are we willing to learn the lesson in our own life? Because to be able to do these things, your flesh is pushed in the areas you've never dreamed it can be pushed in. And what comes ahead is stuff that you can't handle on your own. But if you let God help you, you can handle anything. You can handle any letdown. You can handle any financial thing. Why? You know, he says, take my yoke upon me. What does it say in that verse? And what? Learn of me. Let me teach you how to be free from the things that bind you to this world. Let me teach you how to run free of the things that keep you from doing what I've called you to do. So do you think that story about Peter? So he denies Christ, right? What was his problem? I preached that message here before. He was afraid. He thought that he would end up like Jesus that night. And he was afraid. In fact, what did Jesus even told him? Peter. He said, no. He said, hey, you're going to deny me. No, I'll never deny you. You know, I won't do that. And Jesus said, you will because you're going to be afraid. So then after that whole mess is over and Jesus is sitting down on a beach and he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? What happened in that story? Jesus said, listen, school's over, I'm going home. There's a test coming. Think you can pass it? See, what I was teaching you, that wasn't the test. That was the class. The test is coming. Peter, it won't be me they're going to take to the cross next. It's going to be you. They're going to lead you where you don't want to go. They're going to tie your hands. And it's you that's going to die this time. And then he asks this question. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, then feed my sheep. You know what he's saying? Have you learned your lesson? Can you trust me? Because that was just to get you ready for this. That time, I was the one they were pushing around. Next, it was you. You failed when it was just a fear. Now it's going to be a reality. Peter, are you going to, man, aren't you glad that, he got an A on the next one? And he went out faithfully for the Lord. Let me show this to you and then I'll close. Remember Job? There's something that I found some time ago. I just loved the book of Job. Job chapter 3. He sits down with his, let's see if this is right. No, Job chapter 4. He sits down with his friends, and they come and they talk to him. And then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, will thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" Now he's talking to Job. Listen to what he tells Job. "Behold, thou hast instructed many." Job was a teacher. "And thou hast strengthened the weak hands." Not only was a teacher, but he was a counselor. He had given lots of advice on how to get through hard things. But the problem is, Job at that point hadn't gone through any hard things. He was a counselor out of theory. He was a counselor out of what he was taught about God. But he had not walked that yet. So his friend is telling him, "Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling." He's saying, "Job, you've gone in with these great ideas about God being this and God being that and God can help you. And it's great when you're standing on the other side of it in a 6,000 square foot house." Right? It's easy to say, "Hey, just trust God." Then it said this, "Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou," and you're getting a good grade. Doesn't say that. "And thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled." Man, Job, far better Christian than me. And God came by that man one day and said, "You can go further, but you're going to have to let me teach you." He said, "How many times have you gotten help from Job?" I mean, when you look at the suffering he went through, that can withstand just about any story on this planet. Right? You know what he taught us? "Naked I came in, naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord." There is a point in this lesson that Job was learning that he actually covered his mouth and said that he was vile. That there was still something Job had to learn. And God was teaching him. You know what he's teaching them? "When you cannot see me, when you cannot hear me, when you cannot feel me, I am there." That is powerful. And he learned that. And God used him. God wasn't abusing him. Now, I have a friend, Frazier. You've heard me talk about, I hope you can meet him one day. I was hard on him. He'd come to work late, I'd chew him out. Of course, he didn't even have a watch. You know, I mean, make a sundial, right? I mean, I was so hard on that young man. I mean, I would not let him settle for second best because I saw something in him. And one day after he went up to the lake, he made a video. And he sent it to me. And in that video, he said, "When I first met Pastor Dave, I thought he was abusing me." I left it in the video. I didn't take it out. He said, "I learned something." He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he wouldn't let me quit. If we want to accomplish what we heard on Wednesday night and Thursday night, if you want to go beyond, man, if you want to charge the front lines in the days ahead, the only way to be successful about it is to learn these lessons. And maybe tonight's prayer is this: God, if there's anything in my life stopping me from faith, from forgiving, I want to learn that lesson so that I can go on to what you have next for me. If you one day want to have a testimony of faith given, then you're going to have to learn some lessons about faith. If you're going to have a testimony of forgiving, you're going to have to learn a little bit about forgiveness. What if we just said this: God, whatever's in my life that stands between you and what you have for me next, and there's something that I need to learn, I want to open my heart tonight. Help me. Help me to be willing to let you teach me what I know I need to learn, and remove that obstacle first. Say, God, this is something I've stumbled over. I want to have faith, but this is in the way. I want to forgive, but this is in the way. I want to be used by you, God. Here's my life. Show me what's in the way, and I'll be as faithful as I can to learn the lesson that you need me to learn so that I can go on to the next spot that you want me to go. Because as long as you're on this earth, there's always something you can learn about God. Margaret, her preacher? Margaret Strino, her? She was in Papua New Guinea, never got married, stayed there her whole life, was in a tribe of people, they didn't even wear any clothes. Well, I got her prayer letter one day. You know what her prayer letter said? Will you pray for me? I was standing in line. You know, I wanted them to hurry up and hurry up. And she said, would you pray for me? I asked God to forgive me. I just wanted to learn to be patient. And that's in her prayer letter. I'm thinking, whew. You know, could you imagine writing down? I thought, oh, I looked at that and said, if only that was the only thing I needed to learn. If that was the only thing I needed to learn, watch out, right? But it's not. There's still some things, but man, I've been holding on to it. I let it go for a little bit, and then you grab it right back again. And there's freedom and getting an A and moving on to the next one. Yes, sir. But it's whether or not you're going to let God teach you that lesson so he can use you in the way he wanted you. That whole story about take no thought was to help one guy not be worried about whether or not he got an inheritance. I wonder if he learned the lesson, preacher. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to learn what you would have us to learn about the things that get in our way of serving you. It may be you are talking to somebody's heart about full-time ministry. It may be you're talking to our heart about disconnecting from the things of this world. Maybe it's about being more forgiving or being more patient or being more understanding or being more loving. God, I pray you just help us to learn those lessons. We ask this in your precious name. Amen, Pastor.